are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
We're wrapping up our portion of Matthew chapter 23, and the first part was about hypocrisy and those things, and then there was these seven woes that we're into, which is kind of like we're trotting through these things. But what is Jesus trying to tell his people? In my Bible app, chapter 23 is close to 5 minutes of reading by that awesome guy who reads it to you in your Bible app. It's 5 minutes of Jesus talking, of those red words coming out, and Jesus talking and sharing with people. And I don't know if you remember this, but in school, I went to this one little seminar thing called where there's a will, there's an A. And I thought it said where there's a will, there's a C minus. And so I was really happy with my C minuses. But, and I remember the person saying, like, you know, when somebody's talking, a lot of times the first thing that they say and the last thing that they say are really, really important. Now, in our church, we understand the chiastic structure and how in the times they would put the cool things right in the middle as well. But I want you to really get ready to hear what Jesus is saying in this last piece of text in chapter 23, because he has a lot of things to say to you and I. The words that our Savior is sharing are powerful. If you pretended like he was looking into your eyeballs and saying these words, you might react differently than if they're just words on a page. They're moving, they're frightening, they're critical insights that maybe some of us miss. And today is the crescendo of his talk about woe to you, Pharisees and teachers of the law. And he goes through all these woes we've been going through. And I think Adam for his awesome message last week and Ben's messages in here. Like, man, I'm learning a lot. And I think if we could look into this a little deeper and see what he's asking them and maybe take those questions to ourselves. Are you and I working actively to destroy the message of God to the kingdom? Are we actively doing it out of ignorance? Are there things that we're doing that are these religious activities that are separating others from a loving God who loves them and knows them and calls them his own and wants to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks? Are we putting on a counterfeit version of what the kingdom of God is all about? Is that couldn't be happening to us. I mean, that's those Pharisees and those teachers of the law and those people that, you know, couldn't be us doing that. I was hoping it wasn't going to be me. Or are we, to the best of our ability, putting on display the values that Jesus valued? How did it go this week with you putting on the value of unconditional love? How many people around you felt Jesus' unconditional love through you? How many people around you felt the value of justice for you fighting for the underdog, even when it might cost you? How many people around you felt the value of mercy? Or they blew it and you forgave them. How many people witnessed your faithfulness to the walk of Jesus this week? Have you ever had a moment that didn't feel really, really huge, but later on you figured out it like dramatically changed your entire life? Maybe it was an introduction to someone about a career. Maybe it was an introduction to your significant other that you didn't even know was going to happen. It seemed really small at the moment, but these small, small moments just drastically changed your life. I was thinking about it this week. I have an awesome godson who graduated from the University of Gonzaga, and he got this ridiculously awesome $100,000 to $200,000 a year job right out of college. And he was killing it, and I got to marry him and his awesome wife, and they had their first child. And I could see where this corporate career was leading him. It's one of those careers where you know 60 hours is just the beginning. And like your family is going to live a really cool lifestyle, but you're just going to pay for it. You're not going to participate in it. You won't be there. And you did so good this year, Jacob. And we need you to do 10% better next year. A little bit more every year, every year. And I could see, I know the kind of man that Jacob wants to be. My godson, I know what he wants to be. And I could see where this was going to take his family because I had journeyed a little bit down that road. And the Lord had put it on my heart to make an introduction to a friend of mine that I thought would be a good career fit for him. He wasn't even looking. Jacob wasn't even looking. But just to make an introduction, and I hesitated on it. I hesitated on it for like a week and a half. And I eventually was able to introduce him to this gentleman. And he got connected and interviewed at this place and plugged in and started that career field, changed his career field, which was a healthy pay cut at the beginning, but maybe it won't be long term. And I remember a couple months ago, this was over a year ago, a couple months ago, we were visiting with him and he came down and we're doing some work with him. And he said, "Josh, that phone call changed my life." Do you know how close I was to not being obedient to God, to doing what he'd asked me to do? You know how that would have affected his family and generations to come beyond that? By just missing the little thing. I almost didn't do it. I almost let it go. And I think maybe we've all had that moment. And what I've been thinking about this week is, what if some of the most important moments of your life or others don't feel that important when you're right in them? What if God does some of his deepest work not in these loud and obvious moments, but in the quiet ones that we almost miss? What if that's happening right now? What if that's happening this weekend? Because when we go to Matthew 23, that's exactly where Jesus meets people. And he's trying to talk to them about a moment that they could be missing. He's not rushing. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's just walking them through something. And in this last section of chapter 23, he's going to walk them through their past. He's going to explore with them their present, and he's going to show them what their future and where all of this is heading. And he does this, there's this underneath question. It's not loud, but it's an underneath question for them, and it's an underneath question for us. Are you paying attention? Or are you going to miss this? Are you paying attention? Or are you going to miss it? We've been standing up for God's word, but I wanted to do something different today. I asked Garrett to find a picture of Jesus, exactly what he's going to look like for sure, 100%. And he found a picture, and I wanted to put that picture up there. I don't know if that's what Jesus looks like. It's a good-looking picture, and there's a story behind it. But let's just pretend for today's reading that this is Jesus. And when I'm reading the text, I want you to be looking into his eyes and pretending that Jesus is speaking these very words to you and me. Internalize them. This is not for somebody else. These are the very words of God to his people that we have preserved for us today. So just relax and hear what God has. I'm going to get off the stage so I can get out of the way, because I are not Jesus. But I'll read these words, and you look into the eyes of Jesus as he would be looking into the eyes of the people he's talking to. Matthew 23, verse 29. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of blood of the prophets. You testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors started. You snakes. You brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue them from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechia, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I tell you, all this will come on this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine Jesus teaching to the crowd at the synagogue, and we're part of that crowd. And we hear those words. And are we thinking like, yeah, those guys better figure it out? Or are we those guys? Is that us? He says, let's take a look at your story. And it's not just information. He's inviting them to actually respond. So look where he starts. He says, look back, learn from your patterns. Jesus says something really interesting. He says, you build tombs for the prophets, and you say, if we had lived back then, we would have done it differently. We certainly wouldn't have killed him. And if you and I are honest in here, I think that that's probably exactly how we think. I wouldn't have missed it. I got it. I'm a pastor. Yeah, like maybe most of your pastors would miss it. Because it seems like the really smart guys who know more about the text than I ever knew, who memorized all of the text, somehow they missed it. We read scripture and we say like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I would have trusted God. I would have stood firm. How are we standing now? How are we standing now? Are we standing firm now as Christians who live in this beautiful area? Are we standing firm on the truth? Do we know how to communicate it with grace and love and compassion and humility? You know, I always picture myself as the exception, but I don't know if I'd be the exception. And Jesus stops them right there. He says, you're actually part of the same story. And not just the story, you're part of the pattern that is the problem. Because all throughout their history, God kept sending people to call them back again, over and over again. And Jesus does something pretty incredible here. He says Abel and Zechariah. And in the Jewish Bible, Zechariah would have been the last prophet killed, and Abel would have been the earlier one. And he's like, yep, from here to here, this is what you've done. From the beginning to the end, they would get that. But here's the part that I don't want to miss. Do you know that God did not and has not stopped sending people around you and to your friends and neighbors into your life to call you? Let me tell you about the kind of God that we have. He's a God who keeps reaching. He's reaching for you. He's a God who keeps pursuing. How many people have been pursued by God? How many people have ran? How many people have figured like God's really fast? How do you get there already? I was running. He is not going to quit. He loves you too much to not pursue you. He's a God who never stops inviting. The only unforgivable sin is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, the constant rejection of God's invitation to come and be part of his kingdom. Because he never quits. No matter how awful you've been, or I've been, no matter what sins you're going to rack up this next week, he is going to pursue you. That's the kind of God we have. And then Jesus is like, this isn't even about those guys or the old people, you know, Abel and all those guys and all the, this is about you today in Jerusalem. And it's about, guess what? It's about you and I today, here, now. Father God, I just ask that your spirit would come upon this room at this very second, Lord. It would fall heavy on every mind and heart that's in here. And that, Lord, you would reveal in these hearts and minds, not my words, your words. You would reveal exactly the places where people are hiding and pushing you away. You would reveal exactly the conversations that you want people to have this year that would heal years and years of heartache. The hard conversations done with grace and mercy and justice and truth and love. That we would not be like, yeah, we hear you, but we're not doing anything about it. We would be moved to do what you would call us to do. Let us break this pattern. Please, Lord. You ever catch yourself just reacting certain ways and you're like, that's exactly how my dad reacted. These patterns that are built in you or your mom, you have those same patterns. As I was beating that poor slide with the back of channel locks a couple weeks ago because the designer designed it improperly. Why would I get so worked up about that? Like, oh, I caught myself again. I was like, oh. Or you avoid something that you know you need to deal with. I know people today in here walked in here today and there's something that you're avoiding that you need to deal with and you know you're supposed to deal with it and you know that God wants you to deal with it, but you're just like, nope, not going to do it. I mean, as God's called me, Josh, you hypocrite. And it's not because you're trying to rebel. It's just it's easier just to... If I keep shooing it away, if I stick my head farther in the sand, I won't see it. And you and I know that's not true. Because this is how patterns work. They're subtle. They're quiet. But they're powerful. I remember reading a book called Atomic Habits. Do you know that your patterns and habits, you can replace them with good ones? You can go from cheeseburger and fries to salad? I know, it's awful. But like you do that enough times, like things change in your life? What are the spiritual patterns and habits that are leading you towards God? And what are the patterns and habits that are leading you away from him? Because they're competing for you. And if we don't notice them or name them, we just keep repeating them. And we just keep getting just a little bit farther off course, a little bit farther off course. If you're 1 degree off course, flying from Seattle to New York, you miss New York by 60 miles. Just 1 degree. As Jesus says, look back, just see it. And then he brings it a little closer. Tells you to recognize the moment because now he says, okay, let's talk about right now. That was the past. That was those guys. And you certainly, you would be those guys. But here's where it gets really. He says, I am sending you prophets and teachers. In other words, God is still speaking. When he got to that part and he said, like, you will crucify people. You will chase them from town to town. How many people thought about Paul? How many people thought that Jesus is forecasting what they are going to do right now? They're going to chase Paul from town to town. They're going to do all those things. Like you're going to, like today, we're going to miss it. I'm sending you prophets and teachers. In other words, God is still speaking. This isn't over. This isn't just history. God is reaching out to you. And then he says this line, you were not willing. You know that thing that I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to you 5 minutes ago? Are you willing? Not that you didn't understand, not that you didn't have a chance. The fact is, are we willing to follow Jesus where he asks us to follow him? We know what it's like to feel God nudging us about something, something small, something specific, something we really don't want to deal with. And it's not loud, it's just there. It's been there like old luggage in your life for a long time. Like that quiet thought that just keeps coming back. He's like, hey, pay attention to this. My 2 weeks of not calling my godson about something that God told me to do that was going to change his life. Hey, don't ignore this. Jesus is saying, hey, trust me here. I've got you. And we have a choice. We can lean in or we can push it off. And most of the time, it doesn't feel like a big decision. It just feels like I'll deal with it later. But those little moments, they're actually adding up. They're compounding. So the question isn't, is God speaking? Because he is speaking today, now, to you and I, through his word. The question is, what are we going to do with it? And Jesus takes one more step. Consider the outcome. Do you know that 40 years after this talk, so first of all, in 3 days, three days or less, he's going to be crucified on the cross from when he's talking, this five-minute talk that he was giving, and he's going to be crucified on the cross. And you know that 40 years from this time, the temple that they were so proud of, that they were so excited about, that could never be destroyed, that was obviously so big and huge. Have you seen the stones? Like total destruction. Do you think that they thought that the temple would be destroyed? Do you think, like we're here so long, obviously the University of Idaho is going to be here in 100 years, right? It couldn't be destroyed, or WSU, or our life as we know it as Americans. Because in our lifetime, it seems pretty, like in their lifetime, seemed pretty normal. But we continue to get a degree off of what God is calling us to do. We, what's the saying? Those who don't know their history are condemned to repeat it. There's a pattern. Let's destroy marriages. Let's put families in chaos. Let's have people question basic, normal male, female ideas. Let's just keep getting people just a little bit off. We could be like that. Where you live, what you think is forever, because it's all you've ever known, could be gone. Are we a brood of vipers? Are we allowing vipers in the kingdom of God to change it? You know the brood of vipers, that little phrase in there? You could not have said anything more offensive to those people beside calling them a brood of vipers. There's nothing you could think of that would be more offensive to those people than calling them a brood of vipers. They believed at the time that the brood of vipers were born, they believed in the snake's, their mother's stomach, and they would eat their mom and eat their way out of it, killing their parent, which is like the bottom of the barrel of humanity. He attaches them to the serpent in Genesis. He could not have been any more direct and forceful in the words he chose. That took them somewhere and they were like, that's it, we're killing you. That's it. Jesus says, let me show you where this leads, because this isn't random. This isn't just, your life isn't just heading somewhere by accident. It's being shaped by patterns and by choices. Are you going to follow God's design for your life? Are you going to follow your design for your life? Are you going to follow the world's design for your life? Are you going to follow Satan's design for your life? Anything other than God's design for your life is taking you away from him. And most of those choices don't feel dramatic. They feel small. Daily, easily overlooked, but over time they set the direction. And I think that direction matters a heck of a lot more than we're thinking. Because you don't suddenly end up somewhere. And what Jesus is doing here is extremely kind. He's saying, look at the direction while you can still adjust. Here, teshuva, repent, come back, turn back to where you're supposed to be. And didn't you catch that when we're reading it? And he's like, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says it twice. That I want to gather you up like under my wings, like a hen does with its chick. I want to guide you. And he even leaves the door open. There's still hope. There's still time. And God is still inviting. Which brings us to the final part of today. Are you willing? Not for this big, massive thing. Are you willing to do the very little things that are barely taking you off course? That you know God doesn't want you to do. Not do you know the right answers. Not do you agree with Jesus, but are you willing to do the little things? Think about it this way. Let's take a look at a picture of a front door. That's a bulky, strong front door. Imagine someone is at the front door of your house. They knock. They know that you're there. You can even hear them. Josh, Jesus, come on. Hey, I'm over here. Why don't you come on over to the path? I need to talk to you about something, Josh. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk to you about it. Hey, do I want to talk to you? And instead of opening the door, you start talking about them. Man, I love Jesus. He's so awesome. I love him. I liked him on Facebook. Love me some Jesus. Josh, hey, I know you love me. I heard you say that you love me because I can hear all this. But like, hey, I'm over here. Can you hear me? You think about them. You admire them as they're knocking on the door of your heart. But you don't open it. And they're just standing there. And that's this moment. Jesus is not far away. He's not waiting for some future version of you to be all fixed and cleaned up for your life. He's there right now, today. And he's talking to you about those little things. And he's inviting you right now. God made you for a relationship with him. And that's the starting point. And yes, sin broke that. But God didn't walk away, did he? He came towards you in Jesus through his life, his death, and his resurrection. He made a way for you to be forgiven. But you, this is a door that he is not going to forcefully open. You have to open the door. He wants to be restored with you back in a relationship. But this just isn't something about knowing about it. It's about responding. How many people have heard the gospel message before? You're in church. Some of you guys are Christians. Maybe you're here brand new. Have you been here? Like, I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I know, like, how many people know what they're supposed to do? Like, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Right? Yeah. Cool. How are we doing? Are we willing? Yeah, well, on the big things. The things that everybody gets to see, which we talked about in Matthew. But what about the little things? Are we willing to do the little things? See, opening the door, saying in your own way, yes, I'm ready. If that's you, then like, well, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, I don't care what color your hair is, all those things. Like, do you need to open the door and let God fully in on those little things? After service, we'll have people up here willing to pray with you. And I'll be back there by the baptismal. I would love to pray with you. But I think what Jesus is saying in this very important last piece is like, hey, We get it that you know all the big things. We get it that you think you're not the problem, but you are the problem. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful to the little things he's asking you to do, and watch what happens. We get the opportunity to have communion as a church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you go here, then you probably grabbed a communion. If you're visiting, you're like, what? They do communion every week? I love this church. I didn't know that. We're going to give you the Amazon faster than Amazon delivery service. You could raise your hand. And our awesome guys will be more than happy to give you some communion right there in the middle. There you go. Thanks, Doug. We'll be more than happy to give you guys communion. But this is for believers. This is a believer's communion. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, that he went to the cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. This is what we're commemorating. And this is not just information, this is transformation. When you take communion, you are committing to be transformed. You're committing to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and you're committing to hearing that still small voice in your head and being moved by it, to be willing. Final piece for you guys. The past reveals a pattern. You have patterns in your life from the past that you know what they are, and you know the ones that are taking you to the Father, and you know the ones that are taking you away from the Father. You know the ones that cause joy and harmony, and you know the ones that cause pain and sorrow and agony. Which one are you going to choose? How many times are you going to choose to continue to follow Jesus? Even when it feels weird, even when it doesn't feel like things are going your way. The present is your moment. Every day, you and I get to make those choices. Are we going to be faithful in the little things? Because those are going to make a huge difference long term. And we know where the future leads. If you are in here and you are a believer of Jesus, you have won. You will be with your Father in heaven for eternity. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took this bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We do remember you, Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again." He is coming again. Be caught doing what he's asked you and I to do. Be caught living the way that he's asked you and I to live. Model those values of faithfulness, of justice, of mercy, of unconditional love, of generosity. Live the way that he has asked you to live, and be caught by that when he comes back. Catch us doing that, Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time with your awesome people that you have brought into this room. Your Holy Spirit is the conviction that I desire for me, and I desire for everyone in this room. That we be drawn to your word, to your path, to where you want us to go. Nothing is more important than that, Lord. Help us to be faithful in the little moments that we might miss, so we can be faithful for eternity with you. Reveal that to us in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.